Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
There's the right button. We are live. It is 2 p.m. Pacific on February 5th. That is time for a new show. I'm going to introduce you to a new member of the News for the Soul family, Diana Kuschenbach. The show, Divine Channel. We're going to start at the very beginning. You can see the basic bio on newsforthesoul.com, but we start where we start with everyone. The place that connects us all is a movement and following that is News for the Soul, the grassroots connection of what's really real and what's really possible. So we're going to start there. Let's bring her on. Diana, welcome to News for the Soul.
Oh, hi, Nicole. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay. I'm happy. You're happy. And I'm also happy. We're all happy. So that's where we're starting today. So I'd like to ask the same first question to everybody who's here, because it's the place that connects us as a community and a movement. And we've all had these direct experiences with something outside the 3D norm that we were told that our world was about. And it set us on our path and maybe on our purpose and awoken us to what's perhaps really real and what's really possible. So I'm curious what your first recollection of something outside the quote-unquote 3D norm would be, and also your most profound. So wherever you'd like to start us off.
Where I'd like to start is just the day that I actually realized that spirit was real. And then probably backtrack to when I was younger, when I was younger, I didn't know it was any different than what anybody else had experienced. But what happened for me is my best friend from middle school on to adult best friend passes away unexpectedly. And I had a small group of friends. I didn't expect her to go. She did make some choices that weren't the best, but never really processed that she would be gone from the earth. So that was the first thing that happened. And then 2 days after that, there was a very high-profile missing person case that I have all kinds of ties to. That following day, going to the wake, getting ready for the wake, I could see in spirit my best friend and the missing female. So I could see spirit, and I could suddenly feel vibrations that I had not felt before. You know, like I could feel everything. I could feel everybody's emotions deeply, EMF, all of that. It all opened at once. But that's when I knew something was different.
So walk us through the detail of that. Like, what showed up? What did you see? What did you feel? How did you know it was those things?
Okay, so it's a little embarrassing, but I had put on a few pounds since the last time I had to get dressed up, and I'm getting ready, and the friend that had passed away, she used to be the one who had those issues, and I didn't. But you know what? You get older, things happen. You quit smoking, you add a little weight, something like that happens. But I'm getting ready, and I could clearly hear her voice, even though I understand it's telepathic now, but I could hear her laughing that this is kind of a funny situation I'm in. And I also could see, like, they were standing there, spirit, which that's not how it always is, but at that moment, that's what I saw. And I couldn't believe that she was there. I couldn't believe that this missing woman was also standing there. And, you know, before that, not having any kind of experience like this, it was a big opening.
So, the missing woman, like, do you have any idea how it was that she was able to connect with you? And did that mean that she had passed? Like, tell us all about that.
Okay, so you're from Canada, right? And,
yeah.
And this is a local in Illinois missing person case. So prior to opening up, you know, a few years before that, I was a police sergeant in a little town, you know, a suburb of Chicago. And before that, I had worked at this police department in Bolingbrook. Before I was old enough to test to be a police officer, and here you have to be 21. So I did everything that you would do before you become an officer. So dispatching and catching dogs and writing tickets and all that stuff. But the suspect person, the husband, he worked there, and I met him, and his name is Drew Peterson. And that was one connection there, but also my husband is a police officer too, and he also worked there, and that was his boss during the time of the missing wife. So they were connections that I had, you know, since I was 17 years old. And when I heard that she was missing, there was a wife that he had before that I heard had passed away and never found out how. I just assumed maybe it was like a suicide or something like that. But when he said, now this other one's missing, then you know something's wrong, and you feel that in your gut, you know, everything, there's something wrong here, and I have some type of purpose in this. You know, it's something I could feel in my heart.
Hmm. So were there messages coming through, person connecting with you, and had she passed at that time?
At that time, I don't think I had a clue. You know, I knew that my friend had passed, certainly, but I found even through my path that sometimes you see people's souls that are still alive, you know, but it's another level of consciousness that I was not aware of before that. I mean, I do believe she's passed, but anything's possible, you know. I know that we're only allowed how much information that we're allowed for these cases. But that's the first one that was put in my heart, and you feel like a sense of a purpose, like God, Source, the universe, puts in your heart what you're here to do, and there's certain times in your life when you do connect with that. It's still not something I've solved. You know, I've gone out looking for her for years since that happened, and I have learned so many things through being incorrect where I ended up. You know, like, why did I end up here? Why did I spend 2 years checking this forest area? You know, and I got to learn about all these other things like past lives and residual energy and all kinds of other things. So my subconscious had to be healed. I had to learn about basic energies, you know, that are around us all of the time, because I didn't have concept of that either. So I've been learning through layers pretty much on my own since I opened up. And it's made it so I can hear clearly now, you know, for others.
Wow. I think you're our first intuitive medium on News for the Soul that's a former police officer. So we're going to have some connecting the dots. But before we start doing that, what was your other recollection, your early one, early in life one?
Okay. So, I mean, even being by my grandfather's grave and talking to him and getting a message back, like you could hear his thoughts. I thought that was normal for people. Also, like when I was doing the police job, I remember one incident where I went and I had to do CPR because this person was unresponsive, and, you know, it was within the last 15 minutes. So I went there and I started CPR, clearly hear that man say, honey, it's my time to go. And I said, nope, I've seen other people do this. So, you know, and I'm going to at least try. You know, those kind of things where you think it's that way for everyone. But looking back, I was even channeling during the police job, which that blows me away.
Wow. So you felt pretty tuned in and connected when you were young. When did you first become aware that wasn't quote-unquote normal?
I think it's when I opened up, you know, when it all happened, because quite honestly, I lived in that world where you go to work and you make the paycheck, you take care of the kids, do the laundry, clean the house, and that was okay. And you think about, oh, which house are we going to get next, and those kind of things. So I was kind of in that world, in the black and white kind of police world. You know, that was, I was doing my path, but I guess it was time to go beyond where I was. And I would have never seen myself out of law enforcement, but I did retire early after 13 years. And it wasn't exactly my choice, but yes.
So you mentioned you were kind of almost channeling information when you were a police officer. Tell us about some of those experiences.
Well, this is looking back. I had no idea at the time. But, I mean, I got hired there when I was 21 years old, and I was probably 115 pounds. I'm not even close to that now, but, you know, it's – I don't know how I didn't get hurt, you know. And I know in these cases where I had to tussle and fight, that energy of source of God was coming through me because, it, you know, I could feel it now when it happens. And also, I, one thing in particular, there was this supposed to be this gang fight. Somebody has a gun, and we get on the scene. It's a big park, and there's people running everywhere, you know, and you're telling them to get down. You know, then it becomes get the F down and all this stuff. But my voice, how it boomed when they finally listened, I'm certain that was my higher self because, you know, now, you know, it's been 12 years since I opened up. I've channeled Metatron, which is my higher self, and it was that same feeling, that same booming voice that made even my own coworkers turn around and look at me because that, you know, wow, what, where did that voice come from?
Hmm. So you mentioned that you retired early from the police department. Why was that?
I was pregnant with my daughter, and I had, like, terrible sciatic nerve pain, and I missed a bunch of work. So when I came back after the time off of having her, the department had said that they could not give me unpaid time if my child was sick. You know, and I didn't have any other choice looking back, but it took a while for me to get there. You know, that's a tough thing when you see when you're 15 years old that, you know, you're going to retire this very much old lady in a uniform. So
what was the time frame between retiring and having all this opening up?
Probably 3 years. I think it's around 3 years.
So the opening up happened 3 years after?
I opened up 2007, I believe that was October 2007, and retired 2003, I think. So I raised children and had like a glass tile business, you know, that I made in kilns, and, you know, it was a lot of fun, but it didn't open up for a while during that time, other than, you know what, I think opening up just to the idea that thought that I would be a police officer forever wasn't there.
Mm.
And that, I do think that's an opening too, because that was really hard on me.
Yes, that's the first step in the awakening. So the story really starts at the awakening for this story, I think. So you mentioned that everything opened up. You were having communications and aware of spirit and knew that that's what it was. Now, what else opened up?
You know, I went on the quest to find out what was going on, just like I think everybody does. And, you know, you know, I found a mediumship group, and I tried to learn some things there. And I did meet some people that have been with me the whole journey. It was just like fact-finding. I took Reiki because I felt really guided to. You know, I would get feelings. I would get a lot of feelings on what I needed to do. And I think that beginning stage when you open up is kind of fun because it's, what are we going to do today? What adventure are the guides or God going to bring us on today? And it was, I liked the beginning part because it was fun.
It was fun. I miss it.
I know.
So during that phase, the fun phase, what were some of the really dramatic experiences that you had that it made you kind of keep following and knowing that you were on the right path?
There's a couple times when I woke up, because the only time you really hear sound is right when you're waking up. And I would hear this voice, which I've heard a couple times. I didn't know who it was until now, but I'd wake up and I'd hear, Herkimer diamond, you know, like that. And I was like, what in the world is that? So I looked it up, and I'm like, wow, it's a psychic stone. Oh, how fun. So my husband and I would go on the quest for the Herkimer diamond, you know, and we'd find a store. And whenever you would go somewhere, everything would just fall into place for you, where it was just like it was all orchestrated. And even the, you know, hawks just flying in front of you and just birds and animals doing things that you wouldn't think they would do. And anytime you go and get your camera to take a picture, they all go away because I guess you're not always allowed. But they
been
was,
there.
That was one of them. Yeah.
I had an eagle land right in front of my car just as I was trying to enter a highway lane. That was neat.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it feels the energy of spirit when that eagle is there, you know. That's amazing.
Yeah, it feels like a message as things are happening. Interesting. So you're going along. When did you shift into, oh my God, this is what I'm supposed to do? When did you know that?
I knew the day that I could feel to find that missing person in my heart. That's the day I knew. All of the other learning and fun stuff and learning about energy and all this, I could just feel they were a part of it, but to not stop at each thing I learned. So when I learned about crystals, it was just in flower essences and, you know, different modalities, even sound healing, all of it, but not to just focus on one. It was like I was in a learning phase, and that learning phase was to teach me what I needed in the future, you know, and I learn absolutely every day. I know that I don't know a whole lot about anything when it comes to this, but I can be guided on how to handle it and what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there could ever be a book that would work for everybody. We're just so different.
Yeah, you're following the intuitive flow and you're following your personal authentic path.
Yes.
Got it. And I can totally relate. That's what I do. interesting. So you're doing all of this prep work. When did you start working as an intuitive for us? How did that show up? What did it look like?
It started, there were classes, but I wasn't working. But when I had Reiki master teacher, I got a clear guidance to offer healing sessions at this one metaphysical shop. So I did, and the people came, and the crazy stuff happened in the sessions. And I think you start finding out what your purpose is based on the experiences when you're helping people.
Define crazy stuff happening in sessions.
Probably the first 3 or 4 times I was doing these sessions, I have a strong smell of roses, and maybe the person on the table started getting pains, and you know, and the guides would tell me, just ask them to breathe it out, that it's energy that doesn't want to allow you to let it go. So I was doing a lot of clearings. I was also doing a lot of mediumship readings because their loved ones would come in. And that became part of it. So what I was supposed to do just sort of showed up. You know, I didn't have to try for it. It just happened when I was listening and going that direction that Spirit asked me to go.
So we're having paranormal activity in our studio. I'll just let you know that while we're talking. Things are happening.
Okay.
So if I'm gasping in the background and stuff, just keep on trucking no matter what happens. The other thing that's kind of distracting me is our lines are packed. I think people are already excited about you being here and the potential of connecting with you on the air. So let's talk about what you do now, how you connect in. You mentioned the channeling. What else comes through?
So if I'm doing a session with somebody, it's always spirit guided. You know, the person may come in with what they want to talk about, and every single time we have them go in their heart and just sit there and breathe and to find out what would be the thing they'd most benefit from talking to me about that day. You know, and so the universe gives them an idea and it's up to them whether or not they want to bring it up. But it's me following Spirit's direction. So if I want to help them, I just have to keep going where Spirit guides me, even though I don't have a clue where we're going. But we always end up in the place where we have healed all the things in between. You know, so if whatever it is they're having trouble with, or the things they're working on, or whatever it is, Spirit guides me how to help them that day. And sometimes it's in layers, and it's not always an instant fix, but it's always Spirit guided. And I have the most wonderful guide team, and I can feel them with me, and I can feel Source. And I do feel lucky that I am able to do this for people. You know, I don't ever do a reading based on, you know, like I want to impress them, or I want to prove to them that I'm good or anything like that. Otherwise, I don't think this would work. I just allow Spirit to give the reading the way the person that's sitting in front of me needs. Not everybody's ready to hear from their grandma. You know, they might still be traumatized. And I have to trust that that highest level of Spirit is going to bring through what is perfect for that person in front of me. And if it's stuff that doesn't resonate with them, I'm okay with that because I trust it. I've done so many sessions. I know that whatever they're bringing through is what's needed. So that's pretty much how I do it. I don't, it's kind of vague.
Can you give us like an example of a specific session that where something's happened that's been transformed or come through that has really helped people?
I'm letting Spirit give me an idea. Which one do you want me to tell? Well, they're just bringing up, I had a two-hour presentation at the Holistic Health and Spiritual Expo in Rosemont over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, a packed group there. And even that, I have Spirit come through and tell me exactly who do I bring up? What do I ask them? You know, who do I channel? What is the message for the group? So in that, those are always hard on me because you don't know what Spirit's going to make you do. You have no idea because, you know, whatever it is, you could feel the energy of the stretch before it happens, but then you're in there and you're doing it. But just a person to come up and make that breakthrough where they allow themselves, I don't know, they were learning how to channel ascended masters and angels. That's what the title was. And to get someone that's terrified to be in front of 70 people or whatever I had in the room to come up there and to find their own self, their own purpose, their own truth, to break through whatever the barriers are they have, like that's the stuff that makes me happy. That's like when I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing is when they make that connection. I don't really like to talk about me. I really like to see these people achieve whatever's next for them. It's, I don't know, it's mind-blowing what these people are capable of. And I've met so many amazing people along my journey. It fills my heart.
So what do you foresee doing on future shows?
So, you know, Spirit's going to help me decide what to do each time because they're the ones who asked if I could please do this in the first place. I know that there's going to be some type of missing person. You know, I don't know if I'm going to bring the ones that I've met on here or if they ask me to bring them on here. I'm open to that. I really want to connect with the audience and to take live calls and to work through some really complicated spiritual things. You know, I know that's because that's something that I'm very focused on doing is to work those very, very complicated spiritual cases. I'm not afraid of it. You know, sometimes I don't like how the energy feels, but I'll help you out of it. If I can hear God and I have permission, I will help them out of it. So I know a lot of that and just bringing some of the most amazing people I've met along my journey and just allowing others to to see them because they should be seen. They aren't already, you know, but when they are, I'm definitely going to have them on a show.
Beautiful. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you because the lines are literally already full today. I'm wondering about if we can, I understand now why I'm being pushed into doing mode, more so that this is a very different interview than that usually is for the first interview. But like you, I just follow flow. And let's talk about the state of, you know, the consciousness on the planet and what's going on the planet right now in context with what's been coming through for you when you're channeling spirit. You know, it's been a rough couple of years for many, including people on the consciousness path. What's your perspective on where we're at right now?
Would you be okay if I bring through Mother Mary?
Oh, absolutely. Just whoever wants to show up, let's do it.
and Jesus wants to come through also, Saint Germain, Metatron, right. Kuan Yin, Krishna, Babaji, and Paramahansa Yogananda. So I guess you're going to get a blend of them.
All right.
I mean, just give me a second. When you follow your path, you allow others to open up and experience their own. When you are asked to do or explain things to people that don't make sense to you, allow. Allow yourself to open. So many people are afraid to connect with this energy that doesn't feel right to them. If we all ignore it, it is going to stay there. It's not going to allow a future of love like you want. Somebody has to acknowledge that there are wrongs. Somebody has to find out a way to change them. One person cannot do all of this, but we would like you to open your hearts to those that are suffering, even though you are sensitive souls, even though it breaks your heart to see people in the environments that they are in. It takes us as light workers to bring in that light so that they can move forward, so they can find their place and purpose here on Earth as well. We are all here to support one another. We often forget because we are caught up in our own circumstance. We would like you to at least once a week sit with nothing but your purpose with Source, God, Creator, and allow guidance to come in, allow ideas for change, for empowerment, for you, for others, your children, your relatives, your coworkers, allowing a greater change. When we sit in our normal place, we do not reach what it takes to make a change on this planet. You are staying small. Small will not change the planet. You have to be able to go into it. Go into what is bad, that you call bad, that you call evil, whatever it is. Go into it. See what it really is. Is it real? Is it illusion? Is it your responsibility? If something is your responsibility as a light worker, as a human being, you need to open yourself to your purpose, even though it will be difficult. Allow yourself to go forward light to others. So we're just feeling, Mary, now it's back to me. I gotta breathe that one out. When it comes through, but it just feels like they want us to take some accountability here and to be part.
That made a lot of sense. You could feel the energy coming through with that. It's very powerful. You know,
yeah, I have to breathe that stuff out.
What does that feel like when it's so you don't know what's coming? It comes through you in the moment. What does it feel like?
It feels like energy that is much bigger than myself. And I, over the years, I've gotten better at not editing it and just letting it come through. Like, you never know what they're going to say. And sometimes that could make you a little shy, and you might wait and hear the words, and then you could just speak them. I like to allow their energy to come through because they have power that I can't bring here. But if I can connect and bring it through, I think that's a good thing. Mother Mary is very concerned with the earth right now, and I can feel that. She's really worried that we're going to allow things to get out of hand on the planet and that we're forgetting about things like compassion and trust. She thinks we may have to develop some new ideas and strategies on handling what is being... See, when the words are so big, like right now I'm hearing her and saying it to you, and which is a little different than I did the first time. I just got out of the way and just let her do it, you know, or let my guides do it. But this is if I'm going to hear it and let it through. Like if I'm trying to control it a little bit because I want to know what they're going to say, I can hear it and say it, but then I'm going to lose words. So that's another way it comes through. You can still feel the energy. It's just, it's a little different when I just let spirit come through.
So is she talking about environment as well?
I have both Jesus and Mary speaking of environment. I mean, they've already told me that most of the earthquakes that have been happening are because of things that we're doing to the earth. It's not just always natural. You know, if you're going to do damage to the earth, these things are going to happen. You know, if you're going to test rockets, if you're going to drill in certain places, you shouldn't, that all of these things are going to bring the kind of disasters here. She thinks we're responsible for the emotions of the planet. So if the planet is unhappy, say Mother, if Mother Earth is not happy, there's going to be all these imbalances. And so many of the people, I'm sure, that are listening right now can feel when something's out of whack. You know, I can feel what I'm supposed to feel. And if I was going to tell somebody, if you were overwhelmed by all of the stuff on the planet, to just ask Source to, you know, put settings around you so you're only feeling, sensing, and knowing the things that you need to. Otherwise, you may become overwhelmed by things you're afraid of. You know, so only receive if it's part of your path. And that's helped me quite a bit. You know, not to read too deeply into stories. Don't get pulled into the politics to where it takes your power away. But to stay where you can still do God's work. You know, obviously there's a problem here. And to be able to hear exactly what your part in restructuring things is, you can't be in fear or you're going to make decisions that aren't aligned.
So for those that are struggling with that and they're in fear right now and they don't know how to get back out, what is the advice there?
So I guess I'm just going to do a little guided thing if that's okay.
Okay.
Allow yourself to center. Go into your third eye, the room. Sit there with your eyes closed and breathe. Allow anything to come to you that is fear-based and not part of your path. As you sense, feel, and know these things, allow them to be released from your energy field. Listening, I can tell that many people don't believe they're strong enough to make a difference by themselves. And I can just feel that that's not true. And if they can please be open to that, you're part of this too. You know, I may touch, you know, a few thousand people. You may touch more than that. It depends, but the spirit has told me that if one child on this planet wants to come here, one child, you know, like has an issue, I will come here and help the child. You know, that even when I don't have to be on this earth, my soul decides that we are going to come here anyway, and we are going to help this, even if it's one person. So I guess be okay if you're here to help one person. You know, it's your soul is important enough. And allowing yourself to just see what your part is in this. It won't be too big for you. It'll be perfect. It'll be perfect for what your soul's purpose is. And that may not be the same thing as me or, you know, the other people that you know. So we're going to sit in this for a moment and just allow the energy to change. And if you do have a fear about the earth, about the future, about war, things like that, can you let yourself bring the energy of that fear in right now and just sit in it? We're just going to breathe right into those fears. And yes, it feels like anxiety, but I promise you we'll be okay. We're just working. We're breathing into it. You say if you can keep those, but the ones that do nothing but stress you out, when you keep watching the videos that scare you, quit watching those videos. You know, if there are people creating fear, that's not going to help you in your path. I can be fearful too. I don't like when bad things happen, but I can't be worried it's going to happen to me. I stay centered with Source, with God. So how do I do that? I connect from the top of my head all the way up to Source. I see a column of white light. I see sprinkles of silver and gold, and I see that column connecting me strongly to Source so I can receive direct divine information. And I allow that light to go all the way down my body and into the earth. So it's going through my arms, my legs, my whole body, down into the earth. And you go far enough where you connect with the reason why you're here, your purpose, your path. So that column of light from Source down you all the way into the earth, and that connects you with your divine purpose, the reason you're in this body, in this life now. And when you're in that place, you know you're safe, you know you're protected, and you also could sense your purpose. The purpose can be found in your heart. You go in your heart. You sit there and breathe. Even though the world is moving around you, and you don't know what's going to happen, you have that connection, and you ask the connection, should I be afraid of this? If this person gets elected, should I be afraid of this? And if you hear no, you should take that and just stay on path. Stay on path. Still do what you came here to do. Don't get caught up in everybody's fears. And, you know, sometimes they're just in those fears so much they pull a lot of people in with them. We can't do any good if we're in fear. We can't hear Source if we're in fear. It's just time to allow those to go. And if you have the hand of God telling you that you're going to be okay, I need you to trust it. Trust that that's a promise. And not get pulled into everyone else's worries. So we're going to have to be, or some people have to be grounded, some have to be centered, and tell people it's going to be okay. You know, but we're going to have to do some work, but it's going to be okay. They'd like to give you a chance to talk now, Nicole.
Actually, I'm being guided to ask if you wanted to take a call.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Okay. This is very unusual for a first show, but that's where we're told to go. So 863, you're in luck. You're live with Diana on News for the Soul. What's your first name and where are you calling in?
Hi, this is Julia from Florida.
Hi, Julia.
Hi, Julia.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
So how can we help?
Help you today?
Well, I've just been feeling really just, it's even hard to put it into words, just wondering if things are ever going to get better, you know, if I just feel like things have just been going along for so long and it, you know, there's like no happiness and joy in my life and there hasn't been for a while. And I've had, you know, something happen earlier today that's kind of set me back too. So it's just like, God, you know, is this the best that, you know, it's going to get? Is it ever going to get better or is there ever going to be joy and happiness? So I just, you know, you said you channel Source, so maybe Source can, you know, kind of give me some hope or some encouragement to, you know, hang in
okay.
there.
So, okay.
So, a lot, but.
The first thing they want me to tell you is that everybody, even I, I'm sure Nicole, everybody has growing through their path. So it's not like I get up every day and I'm floating on clouds and nothing goes wrong and everything's perfect, you know, and I never have to cry or be upset or anything like that. I have to do all of those things, you know, and I help people that are all in those things as well. But just because, you know, I keep working on myself doesn't mean, and because God's guiding me, doesn't mean I don't go through life. I'm still going through life. You know, things are going to happen. You can expect that they're going to happen. You can expect that people aren't always going to be agreeable to you. But there's still that magical part that they can't take away. And I use Source or God to get me through those things that are difficult because I don't know how people can get through certain things in their life without that kind of support. So, Julia, do you allow God's Source to help you when you feel like this?
I pray and I ask for help. I pray to God. I pray to Jesus, Mother Mary, the angels. You know, I'm.
Do you ever get a sensation that they're responding to you or you can feel their love when you're asking for this help? Do you allow that?
Well, I'm not trying to not allow it, but I don't always feel it.
Okay. So I also feel a bit of fear. Is that part of what you're going through right now?
Yeah, a lot of fear.
Okay. Is it a bunch of different things?
Yes.
And do you have control over any of those things?
To some degree, I guess.
Okay. So by making different choices or to free yourself or to find a different way, are you able to do that for any of those fears or stressors you have?
Yeah, I'm sure I can. I just sometimes I just feel overwhelmed with everything, and to just, you know, pick a direction and take a step is, you know, overwhelming because fear, anxiety, overwhelm.
So can we do this together where we connect to God and just through that column of white light, like I was saying, try it that way. If you still want to do it your way, that's fine too. Just try it because that direct line allows information to come to you, you know, where you can get your own thoughts and ideas. What if you just get a song and the song is enough to make you feel better, you know, like, hey, God really is there. He really hears my prayers. You know, he's just telling me it's going to take a little bit longer than I would like. And that is what Source is saying to tell you, that things are going to take just a little bit longer than you would like, but they are going to get better. You have to feel your strength and your connection to the divine. And when you have that, you can get through anything. Also, having a close group of friends, do you have that, Julia?
No, I have no friends where I live. I have family, but it's like we're not really, I feel a distance. I feel like I'm like a satellite family member. I'm just sort of out there, but, you know, they have their own, you know, their own core group, and I'm just kind of out there in the periphery.